dirty faces. Angels with broken wings, the devil's dust. PCP invading bloodstreams. People lining up to get it. Fantastic, knew how to flip it. Illegal substance, destructive and plus addictive. Trusted and respected, almost got me arrested. All the time I invested in school is now in question. Child prone to violence, like a dog returns to his own vomit. A fool for chaos, taking what we can
sell. Yo, Dust, what's going on, family? Welcome to a brand new episode of Tariq Radio. I am your gracious host. This is Tariq Nasheed. Glad to have everybody tuning in, family. Doing a late night show, but I'm here. I've been real busy, that's why the shows have been on different schedules, but I'm still here, ready to chop it up with the family. The phone number is 818-850-5404, that is the number. We're going to take that real quick commercial break, family. We're going to make it real quick, so you don't go nowhere. Don't touch that dial, don't touch that monitor. Because we will be right back right here on Tariq Radio.
Hey, what's up? This is Mr. Locario, the bad boy of the dating game. Go to UndeniableGame.com and get my free audio program, Undeniable Game, which teaches you 7 easy-to-follow tips on how to really attract beautiful women. The Undeniable Game audio program is absolutely free to download, so you have nothing to lose and everything to gain. Master the game and get your free copy at UndeniableGame.com. That's UndeniableGame.com.
Ebonomy is a simple way to search black websites, black podcasts, to support black businesses and network with black business owners and professionals. On Ebonomy, you can add your own website, your own business, your own podcast show, or you can do classified ads. Download Ebonomy right now for iPhones or Androids, or you can go to Ebonomy.com today. That's Ebonomy.com. How would you like to make $20 just by filling out a simple form on your computer? Well, that's possible, and there's a way that you can continue earning $20 over and over again. Learn more by completing a short survey on internet shopping habits. To complete the survey, go to internetshoppingsurvey.com. That's internetshoppingsurvey.com. Must be 18 and older and a U.S. resident to apply. What's going on, family? Check out this brand new teaser trailer for a superhero movie called Dark Chaos, Maze of the Universe. Now, Dark Chaos is starring a black female superhero character, and this film is produced and directed by POV Hilarious D. My man is doing his thing on YouTube, and this trailer is a must-see. So go to YouTube, type in Dark Chaos, Maze of the Universe, and check it out right now.
The most intense new video game app has now arrived. A medieval kingdom has been plagued with chaos and disorder. An evil force has dominated the land. And now it is up to the bravest knights to fight back the demonic forces and bring justice to the kingdom of the Moors. Play the newest, most exciting battle fight game app ever, Moorish Kingdom. Available at moorishkingdom.com.
You are now tuning in to the King of Games, Tariq Elite, on Tariq Elite Radio.
Put some respect on my name.
All right, we're back right here on Tariq Radio. Ready to chop up game, family. Glad to have everybody tuning into the show. Ready to make it do what it do, as we always do. By the way, I hope everybody has Hidden Colors 1, 2, 3, and 4. If you do not have your copy, you can go to HiddenColorsFilm.com. That's where you can get the movie, HiddenColorsFilm.com. And a shout out to all the Haitians today. Today was Haitian Flag Day. So shout out to all the Zos, Sak Passe, Naboule. Shout out to the brothers and sisters. And speaking of Haiti, go to 1804movie.com where you can get the t-shirts for the new movie that's coming out pretty soon, which is 1804, The Hidden History of Haiti. We're in the middle of editing right now for that movie, and everything is looking good so far. We're on a good stride, so hopefully we can get this thing knocked out fast. A lot of folks are asking when the release date is for the movie. The latest will be November. We've been telling everybody November of this year, but hopefully sooner. So we're knocking out all the editing. So hopefully I want to get it popping by the end of summer, but we're just saying by November, we'll definitely be ready by then. But we're working hard on it, and it's going to be so fly. Shout out to my brother. I got my man Jermaine Broadnax. He's helping out with the research. My brother's an impeccable researcher. He helps out with the films, helps find some of the images and the historical things. And I mean, we got the team on it. I got some great artists on it. And again, more artists. If you're an artist, you know how to draw and you're thorough, y'all hit me up so we can put you on, man. We need as many artists as possible. I want to put a lot of new brothers up on the game, and you got to be thorough. You got to be thorough. A lot of dudes are used to, you know, drawing anime, and you know, you got to be thorough with this. You got to be able to draw characters and background, so your shit has to be fly. Just because you're a listener and you're a fan of the show, I can't put you down if your shit ain't really thorough and fly. It has to be on point. And there's some brothers who are on point, and I need some more. So y'all email me, you know, at info@tariqelite.com if you are an artist and you want to get down with the program, and we can bring you on board with doing some artwork for the movie so we can speed the process of getting the movie out, ladies and gentlemen, because that's the thing that takes a lot of time, doing all the artwork. I mean, we're very intricate with that, with the images and the art. We're very, very tight on that. But again, go to 1804movie.com, ladies and gentlemen, to get the t-shirt for that film. And I can't wait till you guys see the trailer, which we'll have out in about a month or so. I want to have the trailer ready for the film when it's close to coming out, because the trailer is going to stir up a lot of shit. So I just want everything to be ready to roll. So I hope everybody's doing good. Y'all asses are up late, right here rocking with me, chopping it up with me. What y'all niggas doing up so late? Are y'all out there trapping? You dig? Let me say this before I get into some game here. This whole thing with niggas and rompers, this whole thing where people are now wearing rompers, dudes, rompers are like these moist looking jumpsuit shorts. It's a mini jumpsuit. How can I explain it? It's real fucking moist. And brothers, let me say this. Don't get involved in that stupid shit. Whatever the white supremacists throw at us, we take it hook, line, and sinker. See, what happens is a couple of white supremacists are people in the dominant society. They'll do something and say it's a trend, and then black folks immediately jump on it. Or even if we started as a trend, when those in the dominant society are pumping it up a little bit too much, you gotta watch out for that. But this shit where niggas on some wearing rompers, come on, dude. And I've seen pictures of niggas looking like goddamn Instagram hoes with these rompers on. We're in the middle of a damn racialized war right now. The last thing we need niggas doing is wearing some damn jumpsuit booty shorts, rompers, with your thighs showing like a bitch. We need soldiers, we need riders out here. That's why we stay losing. The white supremacists that convinced niggas and hyped them up and told them that the newest fad, what you should be wearing instead of fighting all of this white supremacy, put on some rompers so your butt cheeks can jiggle when you walk, niggas. And y'all jump on it. And they fake praise you. Whenever the white supremacists are praising you just a little bit too much, that's a con. I saw this video of this mentally disturbed coon somewhere. I think he was in Kentucky. He was in full Confederate uniform. He had a Confederate flag, and he's marching around, and the white people are filming him, and they're just high-fiving him, just propping him up. They were like, yeah, you go. He's running around hugging and kissing white people. I mean, just like a big Sambo, and they're just bigging him up, and he's just so proud of being a coon. Whenever those in the dominant society are propping you up too much, usually they're propping you up for something detrimental to black society as a whole. That's why black folks lose. See, we have to understand the problem that black people have in a system of white supremacy. Some people say that and the white supremacists, they have an economic advantage, which is true, but that's not the real issue. Some people say they have a military advantage, which is true, but that's still not the real issue. Because truth be told, you can give black people all the economics in the world. You can give black people boatloads of money. You can give black people boatloads of weapons and military access. And black folks will still lose in the state that we're in now, especially in North America. But we'll lose because we'll get all that stuff and money and military access means absolutely nothing if you don't have a damn code. Look at Haiti for an example. Haiti, and we're doing this movie about the Haitian Revolution, they didn't have any money. They didn't really have too much military access, but they beat the mightiest armies in the world. Why was that? Because they adopted a code. Enough people of African descent on that island got a code. They all got on the same code. It's freedom or death. That was their code, and that's how they won. Our issue is psychological. We have to understand the code game. This is why brothers like Neely Fuller always talks about code. The code is important. Black folks do not want to get on no damn code. We do everything off code. We don't get it. While the white supremacists stay on code. They're on code 24 hours a day. They're on code through osmosis. They know how to catch codes and throw out codes just like that and catch the codes. And that's the advantage they have. They know how to get on code and we don't, and that's why they win. So the thing is, the white supremacists, let's look at this whole rompers thing. Niggas walking around with these rompers on. A couple of white people will engage in it. A very small few, they'll engage in it. But the majority, a lot of us will take over because they made it, quote unquote, fashionable. They gave it the cosign. So now we think it's cool to do. And it's detrimental to us. See, they can afford to have a couple of people showing out wearing some damn rompers. Because they have a strong society. We're already a weakened society, so doing other weak shit only further weakens us. Just like with Native Americans, the white supremacists would get around Native Americans and they would drink a little bit. The white supremacists would take a couple of sips and then they give the bottle to the Native Americans and the Native Americans would get pissy drunk. And while they drunk out of their mind, the white supremacists are taking all their land and their resources and everything else. Because they have a code. They know how to do things to a certain level and then stop. We don't know when the damn stop. We just keep going and we're going and going and we're clueless and not understanding the code. And we do that all across the board. Especially with dating. Like last week, I talked about this Negro bedwench, this female wrestler. She used to be a former wrestler who was on TMZ, was interviewing her, and she said, well, I don't date black guys. And she's black. I love white boys. I don't date black guys. And, you know, she's trying to show out for like some white sugar daddy or something because that's what the white supremacists who are bedwenching with her, that's what they like to hear. They like to hear them talk down on black men. That's like a race play fetish. And black people, we think fucking people in the dominant society is going to alleviate the need for code. Because while your dumb ass is off code, distancing yourself from other black folks, they're fucking you and staying on code. They're fucking your brains out and they're still on a white supremacist code. This is why when black people marry a lot of white people, a lot of times they take financial advantage of you. Case in point, this sister named Aisha Tyler. She's a black female comedian, kind of whitewashed, you know, kind of bedwinchy. You know, she's been with white guys ever since, you know, I've known about her. I don't think she's been associated with black guys. I might be wrong. But she's one of these black white girls. You know what I'm saying? Real dry comedy. Never really been a fan of hers. Her comedy has been very white-centered. So she's been bedwinching it up for a long time. And I think she's on one of those talk shows. Is it the Talk or the Chew? One of them. I don't watch these bullshit shows, so I don't know which one it is. So Aisha Tyler married a white guy. And a lot of these people, y'all marry these white dudes thinking, okay, I don't need these black men. I've arrived. I don't need no code with no other black folks. I'm just going to marry white and I'm going to be all right. Well, Aisha Tyler is getting divorced from her white husband. And a judge just awarded him $2 million of her money. I bet you wish you dated a black dude now, huh? Y'all will get out here, sit, ladies. Y'all will go date a broke fucking white dude. You're that much of a bedwinch. A mammy bedwinch. You will date a broke white dude who's cleaning your damn bank accounts out. God damn. When bedwinching goes wrong, when bedwinching backfires, a judge awarded her ass, him, $2 million of her money. They always do that. These judges and prosecutors and DAs and all of the people in the court system, they're going to look out for their own. They're on a code. You know how rare it is for a man to get some damn alimony? You know how rare that is? You know how rare it is for a man to get some damn alimony? That shit don't happen like that. But when the white supremacists want to stay on code, they know our code is to create a system of white supremacy and maintain it and then cripple many non-whites as best as we can to benefit other whites, to maldistribute the resources. But the Negro bedwinches and you Negro bedbucks, you're going to learn. You can't run away from the code. You're going to have to learn the code. Now, out there in Oklahoma, a brother named Terrence Crutcher, he was executed by a race soldier, white supremacist female. What's that lady's name? Betty something. What's the lady's name in the chat room? The race soldier female who killed him. This brother got out of his car, had his hands up, and he wasn't committing a crime. The brother had car trouble. So they got out the helicopters, they're surrounding this dude, and the white supremacist female just basically shot him, killed him. They reluctantly arrested her and gave her a bullshit charge. They immediately went on code. And the charge they gave her, we already knew they were going to acquit her, and she went to court, went to trial. The jury immediately acquitted her. So, you know, they're on code. And look, we got to stop getting mad about that shit. Let's stop getting mad. Let's stop going to the courtroom crying. We're in a war right now. Black folks, understand. You are in a war. Just stop the crying. Stop the emotional shit. Stop showing out in front of the camera. You're in a fucking war. You are in a war. Understand this. Black people repeatedly are getting shot on camera and nobody's getting punished. They're just letting you know you're in a war. Black folks want to be in denial about this, and y'all want to dance and put on your rompers and coon it up and bedbuck and bedwinch. You're in a goddamn war. Act like it. You're supposed to stay alert and on code every day. There's a reason why I talk about white supremacy every day. That's why the black folks, you're afraid that the white supremacists are going to be mad at you because they stay mad at me all the time. I'm getting threats. Y'all should see the emails I get. I get nigga this, nigga that all the time. But I don't give a shit. We're in a war. You're supposed to be antagonistic to your victims. So they're going to be antagonistic to me. Look, even if I'm not calling out white supremacy. They're going to be attacking anyway. So go down swinging. Shit. I mean, every day, damn, this week, there was another case down in Texas. The same police department that blew the brains out of a 15-year-old child, that Bosch Springs Police Department. There was another video of them just tasering an innocent, unarmed black man. He was handcuffed. He wasn't resisting arrest, wasn't doing anything. He was just standing there, and then they start tasing him. So no matter what you do, you're going to be attacked. You're in a war. Your skin, your melanin, is your war uniform to these white supremacists out here because they're heavily on code. You got to stay on code. Black folks are going to have to stop playing that game. Black folks got this thing, well, Jesus is going to provide and I ain't going to let the devil take my joy shit. No, you better be very aware and cognizant of what's going on at all times, black people in North America. Understand, when you leave the house right now, there's a bunch of suspected and real white supremacists swarming among society who have a green light to murder you, and you can become a hashtag anywhere you go. That's just the reality of it, and we have to work from there on what to do about it as melanated people. We gotta fix that. Those in the dominant society, they're not going to do anything. They would have done it already. So it's up to us to figure out how to handle this war that they're waging on us, and it's getting more intense. And again, in the chat room, Betty Shelby, that's the race soldier's name who shot the brother. Betty Shelby. And by the way, that white supremacist who blew the brains of that 15-year-old child out, the one who got fired, I can't think of, there's so many of them, but the one down in Texas, they're not going to lock him up. They're not locking up race soldiers. We just have to accept that. The judicial system is set up to protect race soldiers for harming you. That's just the bottom line. We just have to accept that. The judicial system is completely infiltrated and set up to protect white supremacy, and they're not even being secretive about it. They're on code, but barely. They're just being open. They're not really on code. This is just the Nazi system, just like in Nazi Germany. See, we can't do the same thing they did in Nazi Germany, stay in denial. We're still in denial. In Nazi Germany, they were in denial. They didn't really want to believe what was happening. You understand, when I read stuff about what happened in Nazi Germany in those concentration camps, they would be in there partying, having stage plays in the concentration camps. They would put on Broadway little shows, have comedians and all this stuff in the concentration camps right before they went in the ovens. True shit. See, we don't have to go out like that. We want to party to the end. Because let me say this, to be real, the way they're setting it up now, I could see, unfortunately, a mass extermination within the next 3 years in North America. The way it's set up now, the way the media is complicit with these race soldiers slaughtering black people randomly, I can see it. Okay, what the hell is that buzzing? Okay, what the fuck? Hold on, let me find out where this buzzing is coming from. Hold on 1 second. Shit. Okay, there we go. Turn that shit down for a minute. Where is that shit coming from, yo? Hold on. Is that the Illuminati? Is that the Bilderbergs? Hold on. Okay, let me just turn that shit down for a minute. Hold on. All right, sorry about the technical difficulties, family, but all right. All right, we're better. We're here. All right, sorry about that. Had a little technical difficulty. I don't know where that buzzing is coming from on my mixing board here. All right, maybe my shit is being tapped. Am I saying some shit that's a little bit too deep here? I don't want to do that. But like I was saying, family, just like with this Betty Shelby lady, when she murdered our brother Terrence Crutcher, you know, the media got around her and started sympathizing with her and showing her in a positive light. And by the way, there was another brother this week who was killed up in Vegas. A race soldier used a MMA chokehold on his brother, which you're not supposed to do, but that doesn't matter. I mean, we can go on and on about what's illegal, what's not illegal. Let's not waste our time on that. That's just a waste of time. They're using the I'm white and I say so law. You're not supposed to use any type of chokehold like that, but this brother was unarmed. He ran from the cops for whatever reason. They caught him and then used some kind of MMA chokehold on him up in Vegas and just killed him. Nobody's been charged. And the media, they jumped right on it. They showed a picture of an old mugshot of him in a jail uniform to justify this black man being just ran down and executed by a race soldier. You dig? So we don't have to get into the particulars of, oh, that's illegal and that's not illegal. They're using the I'm white and I say so law. That's all you need to know. Just like with Terrence Crutcher. You know, I read some stuff from the juror about Terrence Crutcher. The jury, these filthy little white supremacists, they had one anonymous juror, and that's another thing. They hide these people. They let these white supremacists will execute you, and then the other white supremacists will cover for them and hide. So the jurors were saying, well, they kind of felt she was guilty, but they didn't want to deliberate any longer because they were tired and hungry. So they just went on and acquitted her. Y'all go read some of the interviews by these demonic bastards. I mean, that's what you're dealing with, family. You got to stop wasting time trying to be logical with these people. They said, we're going to go ahead and acquit her. We know she's kind of guilty. Well, she should be a cop, but we don't know. We'll just let her go. We've been in here too long. I'm hungry. I want a sandwich, so let her go. They couldn't even come up with a good enough bullshit lie. They just said, okay, just let her go. It's hard to come up with a good lie when somebody's being killed on film. It's really hard to come up with a lie. So you just say, fuck it, just let her go. So don't waste your time trying to rationalize with white supremacists and white supremacist suspects' family. They're on code. They're supposed to talk in circles with you. They're supposed to rationalize your pain at all cost, because the rule is, I'm white and I say so. That's the only logic they have to use. And they will waste your time going on and on and on using the I'm white and I say so logic. And that brings us to this LaVar Ball situation. I'm trying to get my mic and shit together. Hold on, family. I'm dealing with some shit. Hold on. Because my mic is janky right now. Y'all bear with me 1 second, family. I'm here for you. My mic and shit is falling. I got you. I'm still here, family. And don't forget, while I'm talking, getting my mic together, go to HiddenColorsFilm.com and also go to TariqElite.com to get those t-shirts and all that fly gear, ladies and gentlemen. Now I'm good. And speaking of codes, like I said, I want to talk about the LaVar Ball situation. Now, LaVar Ball, his sons, I don't know too much about his sons. I know his sons play for a couple of teams. In the chat room, who does LaVar Ball's son play for? And LaVar Ball, he put out a shoe. The shoe was hella expensive. I don't know why his shoes are so damn expensive. They're called Big Baller shoes. They need to do something about that price. But again, I'm not knocking the man, because he's an entrepreneur. And, you know, he's like, we'll put out our own shoes. And right there, any black person who's trying to capitalize off the success of their family without having a white daddy middleman, that's already something that's going to make the white supremacists go on alert. That's already going to make them go on alert. And he was on one of these sports shows. I think the show, what was the show called? The Herd? What was the show called? I think the show is one of those Fox sports shows, I think. I don't watch these shits. Okay, son played for UCLA. Okay, all right. So one day, one of these, this white female sportscaster was kind of talking greasy about LaVar Ball, talking about his son. It seemed like they're scared of him. So she was talking real greasy about the brother. So he goes on the show where there's this white female host and there's a white male host. And LaVar Ball is trying his best to ignore the white female host because he knows instinctively when the white female suspected white supremacists based on her actions, he sees that she's trying to antagonize him. He can see it, so he's trying his best to ignore her, but she's still trying to poke and antagonize so that she can flip it and become a victim. The white supremacists are very good at that. The white supremacists know how much they victimize black people. So what they do, they try their damnedest to find something that they can flip and spin to make it seem like they are the actual ones being victimized by black people. So he's on this show and he's trying to ignore her because she's talked greasy about him on other shows and talked greasy about his family. So, you know, he's... Anytime a black male stands up for himself, oh, you're being an uppity Negro. And the white supremacist female immediately tries to go into victim mode. And I want y'all to listen to this woman and look at the code. Check out how they stay on code with each other. And look at the language they use. Look at the language she used. Let me find this damn clip. Ladies and gentlemen, is this it? Let me see if this is it. Okay, that's not it. Let me get the clip. I should be ready here. Okay, this is it. This is the long clip. So I'm going to talk through the clip. Oh, wait. Okay, hold on. Wait. Hold on. We're going to get that humming sound. Okay, hold on. Let me fix this damn humming sound. Okay, there we go. Okay, I don't know where that humming sound was coming from, but here we go. Let's see if I can play the clip.
To me? Like I said, there's different amounts.
How many?
Stay in your lane.
Wait, anyways, I'm just curious.
I don't even worry about her over there.
Okay, so he just told this white woman, stay in your lane. Now, right there, checking a white woman on national TV, now it's victim mode time. Right there. Somebody said he's married to a white woman, and that's another thing, see? A black man married to a white woman who's still standing up for himself and he's checking her. Well, he's being uppity. So here we go.
That's kind of disrespectful.
She says she scares Lonzo. Lonzo's scared of me. She scares me. That's why I don't look that way. I don't look over there because she scares me. I'm thinking of Saul right now.
I'm just trying.
Leave me alone. I'll tell you, 400-500 pair.
So she's a reporter. Her job is to probe.
She can report to whoever she wants behind her. I'm talking to you, Colin.
Well, what is your problem with me?
Hey, my problem is you are a hater.
Why?
I would never wear a big baller shirt. But
no,
good.
I didn't say that.
I heard you say I'm not even wearing.
I said that I wouldn't wear something that
it says
a woman.
Big ballers.
And she was talking greasy about it, but now how he's kind of confronting her about it, and she's going into victim mode. She's going right into victim mode.
It's the same thing.
Yeah.
With all due respect, you're a great reporter, just not reporting on me.
I have a right to say what shirt I would and wouldn't wear.
Uh-oh, welcome to Big Baller Zone.
Well, no, I think I actually was saying it as like a point.
No,
I didn't say
it.
No.
Oh,
you telling them now. I didn't say it was offensive.
Yeah.
I just said, you know, if you want to, you know, work with Nike, Adidas, and Under Armour to maybe have something that appeals to women.
I thought that was a good point. I'm not friends with her.
I'm not friends with her. I don't even see it.
He keeps trying to dismiss her, but she keeps talking, and that's the thing. He's going out. He's not even looking at her. But she's so desperately trying to find a way to be a victim in the conversation.
I'm saying it as like, I would never wear this.
What's this show about again? Ain't we talking about shoes? I don't want to talk about all that. Next.
Well, I think if, in order to have a successful company, you're going to have women who like your brand.
Yeah, if you have a women's company. But anyways.
Oh, so you're not about, marketing to
We're
women.
Talking about Big Baller Brand.
Okay.
You know what? He don't need no credibility to say I'm a gangster and I do this and I do that. No, Lonzo's a ball player. He is who he is. And like I said, and going back to Whitlock, I don't think he can comment on anything but snacks. Leave me alone. I'll tell you, 400-500 pair.
So she's a reporter. Her job is to probe.
She can report to whoever she want behind her. I'm talking to you, Colin.
Well, what is your problem with me?
Okay, yeah, I for some reason I fast forwarded too much, but I went back, so you might hear the same thing again.
Hey, my problem is you are a hater.
Why am
I would
hater?
Never wear a Big Baller shirt. But
no,
good.
I didn't
Don't
say
even
that.
Talk to Big Baller. I heard you say it. I'm not even worried about it.
I said that I wouldn't wear something that
it
like
says
a woman.
Big Baller. It's the same thing.
Yeah.
And then she's trying to flip it into a woman's issue. See, that's where a lot of those Negro bedwench pretend black feminists get that trick from. If you call them out on their bullshit, they all of a sudden try to hide behind all women. Well, you don't like women. You're checking me and calling me out on my bullshit. That means you don't like women.
I respect you're a great reporter, just not reporting on me.
I have a right to say what shirt I would and wouldn't wear.
Uh-oh, welcome to Big Baller Zone.
Well, I think I actually was saying
offensive.
It as like a point. No,
to
I didn't
her
say
it is.
No.
Oh,
I didn't
you
say
telling
it was offensive.
Now.
I didn't say it was offensive.
Yeah.
I just said, you know, if you want to, you know, work with Nike, Adidas, and Under Armour to maybe have something that appeals to women.
Oh, I thought that was a legit. I mean, I don't have to agree, but
she's
I thought
fine.
That was a pretty good point.
I don't agree with her.
But I thought it was a good point.
No, I'm actually saying it as like a point friends. Of advice.
I'm not friends with her. I don't even see it.
I wasn't saying it as like I would never wear this.
What's this show about I'm again? Saying, ain't we talking about shoes? I don't want to talk about all that. Next.
Well, I think in order to have a successful company, you're going to have women who like your brand.
If you have a women's company. But anyways.
Oh, so you're not
about,
marketing to
we're
women.
Talking about Big Baller Brand.
Okay.
You know what? He don't need no credibility to say I'm a gangster and I do this and I do that. No, Lonzo's a ball player. He is who he is. And like I said, and going back to Whitlock, I don't think he can comment on anything but snacks.
No.
Wow.
He was talking about Jason Whitlock because Jason Whitlock was on there doing the usual cooning, and that's why they put him on there. Jason Whitlock is just a despicable, shameless coon, and they put him on there to really make all of their white supremacist talking points, and they can hide behind his big jolly coon ass.
That's a little harsh.
It's going to be harsh because he want to be harsh
so
on me.
So you disrespect women and people for their weight?
No, that's what
you... Listen to her. You disrespect women and people for their weight? So she's just looking for something to spin.
What you say? I didn't say nothing about no
weight. No, you just said that to me.
Like I told her, I'm not even worried about you right now. Keeping your lane.
Can you look
like
me in
I
the
said,
eye?
Like I said, Whitlock...
Listen, can you look me in the eye? He's not looking at her. She's trying her best to get into victim mode. You see?
I don't want to look at you now. You scare me to death.
Oh.
Like I said.
It's a compliment.
Thank you.
Yes.
They wouldn't want to work with you anyway because you don't respect women, so.
She's after you today.
Oh, I don't respect women, I'm the one that's married. I'm good. Well, she can say what she wants. She's trying to put it. I never disrespect women. But I tell you what.
You did
if
on
you
the
act,
show today.
If you act like that, guess what? Something's coming to you.
Oh.
And it's okay.
Do you?
Okay. Well, damn it. Hold on. Hold on, let me, because this clip, hold on.
But I thought it was a good point.
No, I'm actually saying it as like a point
friends.
Of advice.
I'm not.
Hold on.
She's after you today.
Oh, I don't respect women, I'm the one that's married. I'm good. Well, she can say what she wants. She's trying to put it. I never disrespect women. But I tell you what.
You did
if
on
you
the
act,
show today.
If you act like that, guess what? Something's coming to you.
Oh.
And it's okay.
Do you think.
Are you threatening me?
Oh, see, I should try to turn the words. I would never threaten you.
You said something's coming to me.
I don't know what it is.
You
I'm
saw that
psychic.
Dirt. You saw that little despicable, suspected white supremacist get on code. You saw that? Immediately got on code. That's their code. The white supremacist code is to find a way to flip it to make it seem like a black person is somehow threatening you. He said, you're going to get what's coming to you, meaning verbally. And she knows that. They know that. She knows that wasn't no threat. Immediately, she went on, are you threatening me? Oh, my God. Immediately went into white supremacist female threaten mode. This is, okay, here we go. God damn, let me turn that down. But that's why so many brothers out here are getting slaughtered and harmed. Because these white supremacist females and males, because the white supremacist males, they do the same thing. Oh, I was afraid for my life. I shot that unarmed child because I feared for my life. So I had to kill an unarmed child because I feared for my life. She immediately got on the white supremacist code by saying, uh-oh, there, that's what I wanted. I feel threatened. This is why, family, when you're debating a white supremacist or some suspected white supremacist and you see that they are trying to troll for something that they can spin, this is why, family, when I debate, and I want y'all to look at some of my debates so y'all can learn, and I always debate to show you how to verbally deal with white supremacists. There's a reason why I'm extra polite when I'm debating suspected white supremacists. When I'm debating them, I'm extra polite because I know any type of hostility, they can use that to tap out. Oh my God, you're being hostile to me. Oh, I'm scared now. I don't want to talk. You know, that's their out. And they look for an out. So they look for a reason to say, uh-oh, the black guy's going to get me. Conversation over. I'm scared now. You dig? But the thing is, when you don't give them that, that gets them frustrated because their job, they know how to try to get black people flustered and frustrated and angry. That's their job. And when you do not get flustered or angry or frustrated, and you're sitting there talking with a smile and you're being very polite, that really throws them off their game. That throws them off their game heavy. So when she kept talking at him, and let me tell y'all something, when the white supremacists are talking at you, saying dumb shit, keep throwing dumb shit at you, you don't have to answer. You just kind of play it to the left. You just say, hey, that's, ma'am, that's too silly for me to even acknowledge. You don't have to answer them. They're just throwing out bullshit to fish for something. Because they're trying to find something to get on code with. They're trying to use something that you say that they can flip and get on code. And she got what she was looking for. She thought about it for a second. He's like, hey, I don't disrespect women, but if you say something to me, you'll get what's coming. You know, you got something coming for you. I'm going to say something back to you. And when he said that, she was like, wait a minute. Ooh, code. Are you threatening me? Oh, my God. And do you know that almost every major media outlet, including the news here, I was looking at the news here in L.A., the headline story was LaVar Ball threatened female sports host. They were saying that all over the media. They immediately jumped on code. She got on code and she threw a code out there and they all caught it. That's why she said, are you threatening me? Wink, wink. Everybody grab that. Go grab it, everybody. And everybody immediately in white supremacy society grabbed the code and ran with it. They know what she was doing. She know what she was doing. The white supremacists know how to speak to each other, family, in coded language, and they know how to jump on the code immediately. Go look up LaVar Ball threatened. You'll see dozens, if not hundreds, of articles saying he threatened that woman, which he did not. That man did not threaten that woman at all, but the white supremacist media all said that he did. They used the I'm white and I say so logic. That's how on code they are. That's why she's a suspected white supremacist piece of trash, because she understands white supremacist codes. See, we got to understand how we got to stay on code. And big sloppy Jason Whitlock got on there. And I would play a clip of him cooning, but this nigga's just too much. But those in the dominant society, they are heavily on code with each other. And we have to see that, and we have to understand it, and we have to have a counter code, as our brother Neely Fuller says. We don't have a counter code, and that's the problem. When you don't have a counter code against the people who have a code, you're going to lose. So I got the utmost respect for Brother LeVar. I have respect for the brother because he stands up for himself in a system and in a sports industry that breeds cooning. It breeds cooning. Anybody who stands up for themselves, you're a threat. You got Sambo-ass niggas on all the sports channels. They only want the athletes to talk about what about black-on-black crime. You got to buck dance and shuffle and keep your head down. And if you stand up against oppression like people like Colin Kaepernick and others who do, the very few who do, all of a sudden, well, you can't play no more. We don't know if we want to sign you. See, that should be called out by all the black players there. All of y'all should be calling that bullshit out. But Whitlock is definitely a certified coon. I wish my... Okay, let me see if my... I don't know why I'm getting this humming. Let me get a couple of calls here before I roll out. Let me see if this thing works correctly. Hold on 1 second. Hello?
Hey, man, it's Carl now in Atlanta. How's it going, man?
I'm good, man. What's on your mind, brother?
Hey, man, I remember you would talk about the difference between the hustles and the difference between, you know, legit type of businesses. I think a lot of melanated people, we need to understand the moral compass behind getting money and, you know, what we need to do in terms of the risk we take. And, you know, what's appropriate for our lifestyles to get money. You know, I just wanted you to touch on that a little bit.
Now, elaborate what you mean, brother.
What type of risk should we be taking to get to the money the way that we need to be doing out here? You know what I mean? Because everybody ain't in the same position. Some of us are in a position where we got to do some street type of stuff. You know, some of us in a position where we can do some corporate stuff. What should be our moral compass in terms of getting money? Should it be any means necessary? However you got to get it, just get it? Or how should we operate?
Well, you always say, man, the risk should not outweigh the rewards, whatever you do. Because look, we live in a system of complete white supremacy, so sometimes people have to do what they need to do to get paper, because you're put in a situation that's completely unjust and unfair. So, you know, you got to survive any way you got to survive. So we got to throw morality out the game, throw that out the window, because morality is speculative. We have to do whatever it takes so that the white supremacists will not put us in greater confinement. They've already controlled the system. So we have to go around certain things so we can get our paper, but still duck and dodge them. Even if you go legit, they come up with ways to get at you, you know, on tax shit. They can do the Bill Cosby game matches or whatever. You can be the most morally upright person or whatever and legitimate person. They'll still come at you. So you got to get your weight up and do it in a way where it minimizes greater confinement by the white supremacists. But good question, though, man. But thank you for the call, brother. Yes, indeed. Yeah, the risks just cannot outweigh the rewards. You dig? Let me get another call here. What's up? Who's calling?
Hey, Tyree. This is General Steele calling from Columbus, Georgia.
How you doing, brother?
I'm doing good, man. I just wanted to give you a big shout-out, man, because I was in prison for 10 years at the age of 16.
Oh, damn.
And I read your book, The Art of Macking.
Oh, man.
And by reading your book, man, I knew what to look for in females. And, man, I just wanted to let you know I found my beautiful wife, Monique, and we've been married for a year now, man, and we just celebrating our anniversary. And I wouldn't be where I am today if it weren't for reading your book when I was in prison. So,
man,
thank you for that, man.
Man, I got so much love and respect for that, man. Congratulations to you and your queen, man. That's a beautiful thing, man. Hope you got everything together once you got out, man. How's life treating you now?
Oh, man, it's going good, man. Actually, man, I'm all getting ready to go to college for computer programming, and we're getting ready to buy our first house.
Oh, man, beautiful, man. I love that, man. I love to see brothers get out of that damn fucked up system and then get themselves together, man. Man, that's a beautiful thing, man. I'm proud of you and your family, man. Y'all keep up the good work, brother.
Thank you, my brother.
Much respect. Wow, wow, that brother did 10 years, man. I was going to ask him for what, but I didn't want to get into the brother's business like that because it don't matter. I don't want the brother to go back to even thinking about that type of shit. I want to find that clip of Jason Whitlock's jolly ass cooning. I'm trying to find it. I'm going to find it real quick just to play a little bit of it. What's up? Who's calling?
Hey, how's it going, brother? It's Jay from the debate. Talked to you before. How's it going, brother?
I'm good, man. How you doing, fam?
I'm all right. All right. I find it so ironic that we're talking about this brother in his shoes and the sports game or whatever, because today I was actually engaged in a conversation with my coworker who happens to be white. We were talking about sports.
Okay.
And in our conversation talking about sports, it segued to him talking about Colin Kaepernick. And he kept on talking about how Colin Kaepernick, how he disrespect the truth, America, and all that other white supremacy bullshit.
Yeah.
I didn't get all emotional or nothing. I just kept quiet. I was like, oh, okay. And I didn't move it. So, and I was thinking, anytime I am talking to these white supremacists or suspected white supremacists, should I educate them on our issues?
No.
Or should I just let them be in their emotions?
No. Don't, because you're not educating them. They know what the deal is. Let's get off this thing where we're educating them. White supremacists are not dumb. Let's understand that. They are not dumb. They like to play dumb. They like to act, oh, is that a threat? Are you threatening me by saying? No, they know that that's bullshit. They know it's bullshit. They know what he's saying to you is fucked up and greasy. That's him insulting you by talking about Kaepernick. They know that Colin Kaepernick did nothing wrong. All of these white supremacists who are whining about Colin Kaepernick, they know good and well he did nothing wrong. But what they want to do is get black folks to bow down, and they start dissing him so that you can bow down and learn how to suffer in silence. Don't say nothing about white supremacy. Just learn how to take it and just keep your mouth shut. And just, that's just the way it is. So what you do, you go into question mode with him. You got to start playing dumb. See, we start putting on the dashiki and the kufi and trying to be Malcolm X with these motherfuckers. No, you start getting naive and playing dumb and asking questions. So what did Colin do wrong exactly? He disrespected the flag by not wanting racial injustice with the police system? Is that disrespecting the flag? No, man. I mean, everybody gets shot, but there's so many unarmed black people getting killed out here. Are you saying that's okay, sir? I mean, you got to go into question mode. Just keep asking them questions. You dig?
Okay.
You put them on the hot seat. Just keep asking them questions. Are you trying to say racial injustice is okay? Are you trying to say, sir, my white coworker friend, that all of these black people getting killed, nobody should say anything about it? We just suffer in silence? I mean, what should we do? Go into question mode with their ass. Go into question mode. And you play dumb. Don't turn into Malcolm X on these people. That's what they want. They want you to turn into Malcolm X and Queen Latifah so they can go to human resources on your ass. You know, Michael's kind of militant. I was at work and he was talking about being in the Black Panther Party and beat me up. And I felt so threatened. That's what they want, dude. These white supremacists are smart, are dumb like foxes. They ain't dumb. They trying to push your buttons, get into question mode on their ass.
Yeah, I'm glad they didn't take that bait, brother. Yeah. Because I was about to let him have it, but I was like, no, you know what? I'm just going to keep it quiet.
No.
Do a movie.
No. Because you can, if you say something like, hey, well, you know what? There's a lot of racial injustice here, man, and we should be upset with racial justice. He will go down to human resources and say, you know, Michael is, I didn't know he was a part of Black Lives Matter, and I think he has a weapon. He's going to start a revolution in the office. I mean, he's going to go down to human resources and start dry snitching and lying. You dig? So you stay in the question mode on their ass. Don't let them fool you. White supremacists are slick as fuck, man. All right, man. But thank you for the call, brother. Yes, indeed. Yeah, y'all got to learn how to deal with these white supremacists on your job, man. They are full of shit. And you got to know how to catch it. You got to know how to catch it, family. Where's that load? Oh, hold on. I'm trying to find that Jason Whitlock clip. I'm trying to find, where the hell is it? I just had it earlier. I was listening to it and I'm like, this is some pathetic bullshit right here. Let me get another call while I look for it. What's up? Who's calling?
What's up, man? It's Jordan from California.
Hey, man. How you doing, fam?
I'm doing good, man. I just want to give you a shout out, man.
Man, much respect. What city you in, brother?
Cali, California.
Okay, you out here in Cali? Cool. Cool. What's on your mind? Hello? Okay. This nigga phone just conked out in mid-conversation. All right, brother. Man, where's this damn Jason Whitlock clip? Hold on 1 second. Let me see if this is it. Where's this goddamn Sambo? Hold on. Let me see if this is it. Hold on.
When your intentions weren't malicious at all, your interaction with LeVar Ball wasn't disrespectful at all, for him to throw that kind of heat on you and your family, way out of bounds. To analogize it to Emmett Till, one of the worst thing tragedies happened in American history because you questioned the guy in a polite way, man.
Okay, this fucking coon. So Jason Whitlock, sports commentator, he's replying to, you know, the debate that I just played. So he's sitting up here with the suspected white supremacist female. He's sitting his jolly ass up here, caping for her. Listen to this disgusting coon.
Are you threatening me? This is ridiculous. And it played in a polite way. Man, are you threatening me? This is ridiculous. And it plays into a racial politics that has gotten out of hand or via social media. Charlamagne, stop it. Cut it out. Grow up.
Okay, he's addressing Charlamagne because I think Charlamagne gave this white lady the donkey of the day for talking about she felt threatened. And a lot of people are clowning her for saying she felt threatened because they know she was being fake and she was talking in code. So everybody kind of picked up on that little racialized code that she threw out there. And they got their big, fat, mammy, nigga ass coon to cape for her.
Be a man. You don't need that to build your following. You don't have to demonize someone inappropriately and just wrong. Social media, people over Twitter, please stop and think. We're being racially divided for no reason, for the entertainment of people over Twitter and Instagram. This needs to stop.
Nigga, we being
That's
killed out
exactly
here.
Exactly. The unfortunate thing is that this was never supposed to be a war, and it's turned into it. It was never supposed to be a war between me and LeVar, between me and Charlamagne the God, and now it's turned into that. It's not a war on race. It's not a racial discussion.
Yes,
it's
it
not
is.
A feminist discussion. It was about respect, purely respect.
And you didn't give none. And you didn't give none. It is about race, and people are calling your suspected white supremacist ass out on it. So stop the victim shit.
And, you know, I did ask that question, are you threatening me? Because what he said to me was that I have something coming to me. And if he wanted to have a respectful conversation where he answered me and said, no, of course not, or clarified, it would have been done there. But he continued and said again that I had something coming to me. So in that moment, I don't know how else I can
You're full
interpret
of shit.
That.
You're full of shit. You're a suspected white supremacist full of shit. Nobody was threatening you. You were a lying sack of shit. And it was racial. And she's up here trying to white-splain it. That was a racialized code you threw out. The man didn't threaten you. You threw a racial code out and the white supremacist media caught on to it and people called you and the white supremacist media out on it, including me.
And if he wanted to have a respectful conversation where he answered me and said, no, of course not, or clarified, it would have been done there. But he continued and said again that I had something coming to me. So in that moment, I don't know how else I can interpret that. Also, I encourage everyone, he has now turned the words to say that I accused him of child abuse. I would encourage everyone to please go watch the clips, which are out there in full length of me discussing it. I don't need to rehash it now or defend myself. I never accused anyone of child abuse. That is a very, very serious issue.
She kept saying that his kids looked like they were scared of him. So she was implying that this man was abusing his kids or something. So the white supremacists, when you call them out on their fuckery, all of a sudden, oh my God, why is everybody mad at me? It's all victim.
and I would never go there. And to Charlamagne the God, I would love to go on your show. I've actually been a fan of The Breakfast Club. And if we can have a healthy conversation about this and make some good come out of it, let's do it.
Put some respect.
Fucking. Oh, Lord, that fat fucking coon, Jason Whitlock. This Sambo-ass nigga. Hold on. Let me put my Mackin music on. So now she's trying to splain her way out of it. Because she know what she was doing. And people are calling her out on it. As they should. God damn. What the hell is fucking humming, man? Like, I got to do something with my setup, dude. I don't know what's going on. We got the Illuminati, the Bilderbergers, and the Trilateral Commission up in here fucking my shit up. What's up? Who's calling?
Hey, this is Ahmad from California, man.
Ahmad from Cali. How you doing, fam?
Pretty good, man. I just wanted to chime in a little bit on that LeVar Ball situation.
Go ahead, family.
Yeah, dude, pretty much, if you really go to his website, dude had women's stuff appear on his site for about 3 weeks now.
Of course.
He has about 3-4 shirts. They're directly towards women. They're like V-neck cuts. They're like pink and like purple. Something dudes, you can't even wear. It's like women's size.
Yeah.
But he still didn't even bring it up because he was like scared. He knew he was on cold kind of in a way because he was scared of talking too much and then she's going to try to flip everything. She found one, the smallest thing, then she flipped it, which was crazy.
Of course. Of course, it was never about women's clothes at all. It was never about
never.
It wasn't about that.
Oh, the white supremacists, they hate him, man. You gotta understand, all like the real kind of conscious people, like Nipsey Hussle, certain athletes, they bought his shoes. They're like, man, I get 10 pairs. Cause they're like, it's a high end. He's trying to market it as a high end shoe deal because none of the big companies want to partner with them.
Yeah,
which you know they want you to be a slave. Like I got the book right here. $40 million slave. It's the same thing. He's like, no, I don't. You know, we're gonna do a family thing. You know, everybody in our family can be employed, and we'll go. You know, we'll outsource our shoes to China if we have to. But getting a shoe deal and just a couple million bucks, he already sold about 5,000 pairs, I believe, which is like $500 per pair. You know, you did math. You know, it's already.
I tried to find the website
before the season.
That's what's up, and I'll buy a pair. They got size 15. I wear size 15. If they got it, I'll buy a pair.
Yeah, me too, man. I'm 6'4". I'm gonna buy a pair and then like shelf it in my office. It's just like assemble it because no one's doing that in the sports world. I'm pretty like hands on. My little brother plays D1 basketball. And we're like hands on and seeing what's going on. There's no one doing that. Everyone else is pretty much a slave. They're pretty much a bitch boy for this for the higher ups. Nike,
yeah.
Adidas, Under Armour.
Exactly.
Which his shoe is better than Steph Curry's shoe. Like you go on Twitter, everyone's like, yeah, his shoe is actually not that bad.
What's the man? Somebody in the chat room, can y'all give me the link to his website? Because I'm gonna go to the website now after the show. So yeah, somebody.
Yeah, I know it's like big baller brand. Dot, I want to say it's like apparel.com/something, but yeah, you can definitely Google it. And it's pretty hot, man. He's doing his thing, man. I take
my hot hat off to the brother, man. You know, I like to see brother be an entrepreneur and piss off the white supremacists too. That's always a good thing.
Oh yeah. And his kids, he got a younger son. He's going to be probably just as good as the other one. He's only a sophomore. They live in Chino Hills, man. They like one state in basketball.
Oh wow,
like he. Yeah, he's that's why it's been a long thing, but the one that's like good now, he's so humble that it's like a balance where they're like, damn, we like him, but the dad, you know, this nigger, he won't shut his damn mouth because he's saying everything that no one else want to say. That's why Shaq's officially a coon. He told Charlamagne the God on Twitter like, oh hey man, I disagree with you on this one. He's dude, hot. Is this that, you know, who's Shaq wants to be a cop.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Shaq is easing his way over. Shaq is easing his big ass over there towards the train a little bit, too.
Oh, yeah. You know, he gonna squeeze his ass on there somehow.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
Jason Whitlock, he told Jason Whitlock, only thing he could talk about is eating snacks. Come on. This dude is the father of the year, man. Father of the fucking year, man. Ain't nobody else doing this, man.
Real talk. Real talk, man. But hey, man.
Serena Williams' father, Tiger's dad, that's about it, man. Everybody else's dad, they would be happy that Nike calling their son. They can't wait to coon it up and just move out the hood.
Exactly, man. But thank you for the call.
Thanks for the chat, man.
No problem, brother. Thank you. I cannot find that fucking clip. Somebody on YouTube, I can't find that clip of Jason Whitlock cooning it up. There's another clip, and I can't find it for shit right now. I've been looking for it for the last 15 minutes. I cannot find that clip to save my life right now. And I wanted to play it, but it's okay. Hold on. Fuck it. Just to show you how much of a despicable coon he is. But shout out to LeVar Ball for standing up. Somebody, let me allow links in the chat room so I can go. Hold on. Damn. Turn that off. So I can go to the website. I'm going to see if they got some size 15s of them shoes. I'm going to get some of them damn shoes. Just to support that brother for being a real one. All right, somebody put the link up in the chat room again for the shoes, for the Big Baller shoes. It's bigballerbrand.com. Okay, let me look at them. Let me see if they got my size. I'm looking at the website now. It's bigballerbrand.com. Let me see what they got on here. Size chart, shoes. I'm looking at it now. Footwear. Okay, oh, shit. Some of these bitches is, the autograph ones are like $900. Okay. Okay, they got the signature slides for $200. Let me see the Lonzo Ball, Big Ball. Oh, they got 15. I think I'm going to get some of these joints. Oh, I'm going to get some. I'm going to get some of the Big Baller shoes. Just to support that, brother. I'm going to get some tonight. And I'm going to bust them out on Instagram. I'm going to rock them. Yeah, I'm going to get them tonight. And I'm going to rock the Big Baller brands. You dig? But bigballerbrand.com. I'm going to support that brother and make it do what it do. I wish they had different colors. You dig? And also, y'all, don't forget, check out the Redstone Firearms. They're having a webinar, I think, this Saturday. Let me give y'all the information on that. So y'all can check them out. RedstoneFirearms.com. Check them out. They're having a free firearms webinar this Saturday from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. Pacific time. If you got any firearm questions, y'all hit them up. Y'all need to check this out. This is free. And you can go to redstonefirearms.com. You can also email them at rsf1.ffl@gmail.com so they can give you all the webinar information. But that's redstonefirearms.com. They're having a free webinar that's going to give you some game about owning weapons, and they're a gun store, so you can get stuff from them. So they are the business, ladies and gentlemen. But code time is here. We got to stay on code. That was the whole theme of today's show, us staying on code and getting on code, because those in the dominant society, they are heavily on code right now. And they are circling their wagons around each other. They are protecting each other. Understand, when we get harmed by a race soldier, not only will other race soldiers protect them, you have prosecutors that's protecting them. You have DAs that's protecting them. You have judges protecting them. You have media apparatuses that's protecting them. You have online trolls that are protecting them, because notice the online trolls know how to find black suspects. There was a case down in Florida where there was a party, and this white lady came in talking shit to the kids, and one of the kids threw her in a pool. These white supremacists got online and found the dude. They found the teenager and they outed him immediately. They know how to find people. You think they don't know who these white supremacists are? These race soldiers are that they hide? They know who these people are. And speaking of deputized race soldiers, understand this. In Chicago, there was a black female security guard who got socked in the face by this white supremacist suspect male. Socked this sister in the face, broke her nose, the whole shebang. And they got the guy in custody. And for like a day or so, they didn't want to release the dude's name. He was in custody, but they didn't release his name. Do y'all know I was the first person to release this dude's name? Matthew DeLeon, that's his name, in Chicago. I was the first person to publicly, especially on Twitter at least, to release the dude's name and his mugshot, because they finally did arrest him. And right after they arrested this dude for just randomly punching a black woman security guard for no reason. She was actually trying to help him because he was like walking around drunk and he threw up and she was trying to help him. Then he just socked her in the fucking face. You had people in the media talking about how sorry he was. There was this one white female activist who's supposed to be this bleeding heart liberal who's known actually for being an advocate for gun violence out there in Chicago. I can't think of her name right now. I can look it up real quick and see if I can find it. But this liberal white female goes out of her way. You go to her page and she has a whole bunch of pictures of black youths who are victims of gun violence in Chicago. So, you know, they'll cape for you and be an advocate for you if you're being harmed by other black people. But when, okay, yeah, Aki sent me the information on this lady. Yes, her name is, let me give y'all her name. What is this lady's name? Hold on. Valley, what are the fucking, what is her name? Valente. Dawn Valente. So Dawn Valente goes around Chicago. She's an advocate for black victims of other black folks' crime. She's the white savior. But these people do an about face when a white person commits an act of violence on a black person. They are still sympathetic towards the white person. They are still coded up. Now, this Matthew DeLeon dude socked his sister. He got arrested. This Dawn Valente lady, who's this white activist, this victim's right advocate, she said she's a representative of this guy. She was like, well, he knew that he messed up and he's very remorseful for punching the woman. According to Valente and police, the man had been drinking when he punched Zoe Stigler in the face, breaking several bones. The alcohol blurred his judgment. This is the Valente lady. So she's caping for this fucking dude. They will go on code for each other no matter what. They know how to stay on code. And we don't. We be shitting on each other in front of the white supremacists. That's why I go out of my way. I don't be shitting on other black folks who are on code around the white supremacists. Unless it's a fucking coon. But they know how to stay on code no matter what, man. We have to understand that part of the game, and we don't. We do not get it. And we better learn fast, because like I said earlier, man, these white supremacists, I can see them doing a mass extermination within the next 3 years. A big one, not a complete one, because they're never going to do a complete extermination, but a big one. A population tailoring extermination. And I can see that happening within the next 3 years. The way these white supremacists are coding up based on patterns and techniques, I can see them doing that. Because they're normalizing black people being executed outright on film, on camera, and they're not even coming up with good lies to justify it anymore. So that's a red flag that we got to start coding up too, family. Anyway, that's been today's episode of Tariq Radio. This is a long show. It's like an hour and 15 minutes almost. I've been here chopping it up with y'all. All right, y'all, man. Don't forget, go to TariqElite.com. TariqElite.com. Get y'all some gear, family. Get y'all some shirts. Speaking of those expensive goddamn LeVar Ball shoes, get you some less expensive gear at TariqElite.com, ladies and gentlemen. And again, y'all keep your eyes open for 1804 movie, man. We need it. It's for the culture. We need that right now. Go to 1804movie.com for more information. I'ma holler, man.